Amen. Amen. Give God praise today. Amen. I looked at my Bible, said I forgot my glasses. Amen. Praise God today. Give God another hand praise today. For truly, truly He is worthy to be praised. We are here on another Sunday, and my grandfather used to say, God has been good to us, for He has let us repeat ourselves once again. Amen. And I don't know about you, amen, but I'm glad to be identified in your presence today. Amen. Oh, it's a special Sunday for us. We're going to salute our graduates later, but can we just give a hand right now for our high school and college graduates? Amen. 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 Can we give a hand to all the parents who have endured with our high school and college graduates? Amen. Amen. We turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're just going to read the 14th verse, but we're going to go through all of Philippians 3 today quickly, as R.D. would admonish me. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You might be seated. Like I said, keep your Bibles open there to Philippians chapter 3. And over the next 3 weeks, we get to do our first three-week series with you guys. We're excited about that. Amen. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing a series. Thank you, Jimmy. Amen. We're going to be doing a three-week series. And the series is entitled Masterpieces in Progress. Masterpieces in Progress. And today we begin the series with the sermon, Are We There Yet? Amen. How many people have ever taken a road trip? Amen. Right? And taken a road trip with children. Amen. That's right. Amen. And you understand that taking a road trip with children, you hear this question quite often. Are we there yet? They don't understand the distance between destinations. All they know, especially if you done use the words Disneyland, amen, they know that they're going somewhere exciting, amen, and they are anticipating the destination that they are going to get to. And a lot of times during the trip, you hear them say, are we there yet? And as a parent, you look at the back seat and say, we're not. And if you keep talking, I'll turn this car around. Maybe none of y'all ever said that. Amen. But it's a real question, not just as we travel geographically, but it is a real question that we have when we are growing spiritually. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are we there yet? See, most of us need to realize that we are truly masterpieces in progress. Amen. We are masterpieces in progress because we are in the hands of the Master. Amen. If you have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, no matter how messy your life may seem right now, I want to affirm to you today that you are a masterpiece in progress. Amen. So I'm going to let you say that. Turn to somebody and say, guess what? I'm a masterpiece in progress. Now, don't forget the in progress part, amen? Some of us just want to be masterpieces, right? But we have to realize that no matter where we are, no matter what stage, no matter what age we are all masterpieces in progress, amen. See, now in this third chapter of Philippians, in this first verse, finally, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, and to write these same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Just like kids are excited about Disneyland, just like some of you adults are excited about a cruise that you're going on in July, amen. You know, I didn't say any names, Kevin, amen. Just like you're excited about these things, that's what Paul is saying right here. Paul is saying, be excited about the journey, amen. Be excited about what God is doing in your life. And why? Paul had always, through Philippians and other passages, we always hear Paul talk about joy. But this is the first recorded time that Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, amen. He was telling us that your joy has to be rooted in the fact that Jesus Christ is your joy, amen. If you're going to take this journey, the first thing you have to understand is that joy comes from Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, joy comes from Jesus. Look, and if you can't get that, you're not going to be excited about this journey, because there are some witnesses in this room today who will tell you that not every day of this journey is easy. Amen. Not every situation that you go through is one that you would choose. So you must have your joy in Jesus. Amen. Paul says, finally, rejoice in the Lord. Then he says in verse 2, what any of us do, if you are going to plan a trip, you need to know what the weather conditions are going to be like. You if you're driving, you want to know what the road conditions are going to be like. And you want to know what kind of clothes you're going to wear. I picked my sister up at the airport the other day, and the first thing out of her mouth was, man, I leave 82 degrees in Texas, and I get over here to Colorado, and it's freezing, right? Now, it was 50 degrees, amen, and to us, that's balmy, amen, but somebody who's been in Texas, amen, 50 here is cold, man. She in the car shivering because she still had her cute Texas clothes on, amen, okay? She didn't check the weather forecast, amen, right? But before you go on the trip, you've got to check road conditions, you've got to check the weather, and that's what Paul says in verse 2, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. He says, in Colorado, see, we hear this frequently. We hear people say, make sure you put on your chains before you go up to the mountains during the winter months. We hear them say this all the time. We say, well, what do those people need chains on their cars for? Well, the chains on a wheel give a car better traction on the snow and the ice. Amen. So Paul is saying, before you get going on this journey, we know you're excited about going with the Lord, you need to know the conditions in which you are traveling. Amen. See, it would be foolish for me to go to Texas and it's 90 plus degrees and I had on a turtleneck. That would look foolish. And it's foolish for you and I to go about this journey that we're on with the Lord dressed like some of us are dressed or not dressed spiritually. Amen. See, some of us need to put our spiritual chains on. Amen. You're trying to deal with the snow and the ice of life without your spiritual chains, and you keep slipping and sliding all over the place. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, get your spiritual chains on. Why is it important? Look what my friend, he says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Amen. He says, if you are going to understand the world in which you are traveling, you must understand that you live in some evil times. He says, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine. I didn't hear enough amens right there. But be filled with the Spirit. Amen. He says, don't be controlled by another substance, because you can't afford to be controlled by another substance when you are traveling in an evil world. Amen. He says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things, for this is the will of our Lord God. Even, he says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You must know the conditions in which you are traveling. He gives us more ideal of these conditions, what he says in Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes and the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says you need to understand the conditions in which you are traveling. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, do you understand the conditions which you are traveling? See all these graduates are, some of them getting ready to go on to college, and all somebody's told them about is the party scene. All somebody told them about is the fun side and Greek life and all of this kind of stuff. But what we have failed to tell them is the real condition of our campuses across this country. That these places can will attack your faith. These places will be places that will try and pull you away from your relationship with God. And if you are not careful, if you don't understand the conditions in which you are traveling, you'll find yourself in trouble. Paul says, look, he goes back to this, back to the Philippians 3 passage. He says to us, if you put on Christ, look before I jump there, Romans 13, 13 and 14. This is again, understanding what you need to be dressed in, what you need to look like in this type of weather. He says, Romans 13 and 13, he says, let us behave properly as in this day, not carousing or partying and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Amen. If we are really going to go on this journey, if we are going to get where God wants us to get to, we've got to put on Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, put on Jesus. Amen. Put on Jesus. And he says, if you put on Christ, Paul again then says, back in the Philippians text, if you put on Christ, you are careful then not to brag about yourself. Amen. He says, we tend to boast about ourselves. We tend to brag about our accomplishments. We tend to believe that we are all of that and a bag of chips. Amen. We tend to believe that we are the bee's knees. Amen. We tend to believe that when we look at the mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? We know the mirror going to look back at us and say, baby, baby, you're fine. Amen. We tend to think highly of ourselves. Amen. We tend to think highly of ourselves. And Paul says, be careful. Because you cannot travel this journey if you are confident in yourself. Amen. He says in verse 4 through 6, although I myself have confidence in the flesh, if anyone should have confidence in the flesh, I far more. He says in verse 5, I was circumcised on the eighth day, the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, he says, I was found blameless. Paul said, if anybody can brag about who they are, it's him. And some of us do a lot of bragging about ourselves. A lot of us brag and have confidence in our flesh. But Paul says, that's not going to get you anywhere. Amen. He said, if anybody could brag, he could. He had all of the religious qualifications. He was it above the its. He had it all going on. But Paul says, I don't find myself having confidence in the flesh. Amen. Paul says that for us to reach the destination, we must give up confidence in all things that seem like the destination. Amen. Let me say that again. Paul says that in order for us to get to the destination that God wants us to get to, we must give up confidence in things that seem like the destination. See, the graduates who are here today, what you have accomplished is a great thing. Walking across the stage to receive your diploma is a great accomplishment. But be careful that you do not place confidence in those things. And please don't think that you've arrived. Amen. Don't think that just because you walk across a high school stage that you are ready for what life's going to throw at you. Amen. Don't think that you all of a sudden are grown and can't tell mama and daddy what you ain't going to do. Amen. Because if that's the position you're going to take, ain't nothing going on but the rent. You gotta have a J-O-B. All the parents will love me later, amen. He says, don't be careful that you don't put confidence in the flesh, because that flesh is not going to get you anywhere. A great accomplishment, but that is not the destination, amen. I know so many young people who graduate from high school and then they just stay stuck there, amen. Don't do anything else. They just travel around the east side from mama's couch to auntie's couch. Don't do nothing else, because they confuse their accomplishment with the destination, amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, the accomplishment is not the destination. Amen. Now, some of you older folks, let me get off these young folks. Some of you older folks need to realize that the promotion was not the destination. Amen. That car that you just bought was not the destination. It's an accomplishment. The house that you have is not the destination. It's an accomplishment. You walking around here thinking like your stuff don't think, but like you've arrived. Amen. But that's not the destination, amen. Paul says, look what he says. Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Well, let me put it in our language. But whatever things I thought made me somebody, I realized that they didn't make me anybody unless I had Jesus Christ, amen. You can get all this world has to offer, but the Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? Amen. Paul says, more than that, I count all things. Everybody say all things. All things. I count all things as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. I like that translation, but I like the original translation that says, I count it all but dung, amen. Some of y'all ain't been around dung before, amen. But dung is not something that you brag about, amen. You don't walk around saying, girl, I got me 2 pounds of dung. You don't brag about that. Paul was saying, when I consider everything that I have accomplished, I count it as dung in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of us have put more time and energy in climbing ladders and getting positions and haven't done anything when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ. We bought the car, we bought the house, we got the money that we flash around, we got the fine shoes, but you don't know Jesus worth a lick, amen. And Paul says, everything that I accomplished is nothing in comparison of knowing Jesus Christ. Have our witness today, amen. See, the destination is not what I accomplish, amen. See, if the destination is not a walk across the stage, if it's not a degree, if it's not a climb up a corporate ladder, if it's not a purchase of a big ticket item, if it's not the Grammy, if it's not the Oscar, if it's not the Tony, if it's not the multi-million dollar contract, if it's not the title, if it's not the position, if it's not the stuff, what is the destination? I'm glad you asked. Amen. We must understand that the destination is to be like Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the destination is to be like Jesus Christ. Look, this world will get you gassed up on yourself real quick. Amen. This world will get you reading your own headlines real quick. Amen. This world will have your head so big that you can't walk through a door. Amen. This world will have your ego so large that you think that you got everything going on. And Paul says in verse 9 of the text, he says, I don't want to be found in him him having a righteousness of my own. He says, I don't want to be found in him standing before God one day and giving God my resume. Because you know what God says to your resume? Even your righteousness is but filthy rags. Amen. See, I don't stand. I don't want to stand before God on my own merit. I don't want to stand before God saying, God, look what I did. Look what I bought. Look what I have. Look what school I graduated from. Look what fraternity. Look what sorority. Look at my credit score. And God's going to look at all that and say, you know what? All of that is dung. The enemy has got you and I chasing dung. Amen. That is dung that's wearing you out and almost dividing your marriage. That is dung that is keeping you from time with your children. That is dung that is dividing your family. We are chasing dung, and God has more for us. Amen. Dung has got your blood pressure high. Dung has got you stressed out. Dung has got you losing sleep. Dung has got you and your wife not talking. Dung has got your son mad at you and your daughter not calling you. Dung! Dung. An enemy is a deceiver of the brethren. I remind Christian folks all the time, he ain't got to confuse folks that already his. He confuses us. So we don't go after what he knows we should be going after. He don't care that you get the job. He don't care that you get the promotion. He don't care that you got the money and the 810 credit score. He don't care about nothing like that. But if you become like Christ, if you start loving like Jesus, if you start forgiving like Jesus, if you start giving like Jesus, and you start serving like Jesus, if you start preaching like Jesus and teaching like Jesus, then the enemy has got a problem. But as long as you chasing dung, he ain't worried about you. He can smell the stench of your life, and he ain't worried about you. Paul says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Amen. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If I want to map out the destination that God is trying to get me to as a believer, it is verse 10 of that text, that I may know him, that I may experience the power of his resurrection. Let me tell you something. If I know the power of his resurrection, then the enemy can never keep me down. Now, there should have been some more amens right there. If I know the power of his resurrection, then the enemy can never keep me down. He might keep me down a day. He might keep me down a second day. But the power of his resurrection says early on the third day. Amen. And so if he can get up, I can get up no matter what is going on in my life. Because I know the power of his resurrection. I know the fellowship of his sufferings. I understand and I know him, and I become like him, and my mind becomes like him, and my emotions are controlled by him. All of me becomes him. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the destination is to be like Christ. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Our accomplishments in the flesh can cloud our reality. We can be misled about where we really are when it comes to reaching this destination. We can think that just because we've accomplished so much in the temporal, that it means something in the eternal. I always liken it to Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, when the Spirit is speaking to the church at Laodicea, and he says to them, you say, I am rich. You say, I have grown wealthy and need nothing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Amen. Here the Spirit was talking to the church at Laodicea saying, you think one thing, but the reality is quite different. Amen. Some folk think that because they dress it up on Sunday and come and sit in a worship service once a week and never really present because they're ready to leave when they get here. Amen. The church at Laodicea, the Bible says they were not hot, they were not cold, they were lukewarm. And because they were lukewarm, it made God's stomach sick, and he declared in the word that I will spew you out of my mouth. See, they professed to belong to Christ, but their lives, their practices did not reflect that they belonged to Christ. They were lukewarm. They weren't pressing. They were pretending. Amen. They had parked at a place that wasn't the destination. Now go back to the road trip. You told your kids you're going to take them to Disneyland. You drive into Disneyland, and you stop at a rest stop. And you tell the kids, welcome to Disneyland. Kids look around. They don't see Mickey Mouse. They don't see Donald, don't see Goofy, don't see Cinderella's castle, but you keep telling them, welcome to Disneyland. You get them on that big, tall metal slide that it seems that every rest stop has, and you say, oh, look at you, you're on Space Mountain. Kids are looking at you like you're crazy. This ain't Disneyland. This ain't where we're supposed to be, but because you have got a wrong sense of reality, you have tried to convince yourself that you've gotten to a place that you've not gotten to yet. Amen. Some of us are trying to convince ourselves that we have completely grown up in Christ and you're not even there yet. Amen. See, do not fall into the traps of the devil who wants you to think that this, where you are right now in life, is it. Amen. My noonday Bible study class and some of the more seasoned folks in our congregation who are in that class, they will tell you that for almost the last 3 years, every week they hear me urge them on. You guys are not, you're not sitting in the waiting room of heaven. You're conduits. Get out there. Keep living your life. This is not the waiting room where the old people go and say, when he called, no. God has so much life for you to live. He has so much more for you to do. He has so much more for you to learn. And as long as you are breathing, you haven't got to the destination yet. As long as you are breathing, as long as you are here in the land of the dying, going to the land of the living, you haven't got there yet. Amen. He says, the enemy seeks to fool you about the destination. The Bible says in John 10 and 10 that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you to get to the destination because he knows that if you become more like Christ, then he's got an issue with you. If you become more like Christ as the husband of your wife, then there's going to be some problems that the enemy has with your marriage. If you become more like Christ as a father, there are going to be some problems that the enemy has with how you raise your children. If you become like Christ as a wife and as a mother, as a woman of God, then the enemy is going to have some problems with you because you will not be fooled by the schemes and the wiles of the devil. See, he wants you to be confused about the destination. Look here as we rush to the close. Paul says, are we there yet? He says, look at verse 12 through 16. Paul, understanding the destination, concluded that he had not arrived yet. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm not there yet. And I know some of you have been walking with the Lord a long time. Some of you gave your life to Christ when you were a little child and you've grown up in the church. And we sometimes throw that out as a merit badge that, the look, I grew up in the church. But that didn't mean you didn't end up in the club. Now y'all tell the truth. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's not forget that. Amen. 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 He says, look, when you look at this, you have to understand that we've not gotten there yet. The destination, and I know young people, y'all hate this. The destination is not somewhere that you get immediately. Okay? We like instant. You know, I get hungry, don't feel like cooking. The other day, and then we had some steak and cheese chimichangas that used to be in the freezer, amen. But when you have five kids, you got to get it the day you put it in the freezer, or you ain't gonna get it, amen. And so I told Nathan, I'm sitting there hungry and didn't want to take time to make sandwiches, just wanted something quick. I said, hey Nathan, can you go and get me some of the chimichangas and make me a chimichanga? He's like, Dad, I think they're gone. And so what I've started to do, I started to hide some stuff. You know, parents, y'all know, in the back of the freezer, amen? Because you figure they ain't going to look in the back of the freezer. And I said, Nathan, no, could you look in the back of the freezer? He said, oh, no, Dad, we found those too, amen? I said, ain't that something, right? It's a destination. It's not something that happens immediately. And every believer needs to understand that, because look, the enemy, if he doesn't fool you about the destination, he will frustrate you about the process. He will frustrate you that you're not there yet. He will frustrate you that you are struggling with something. But you have to understand that this is a lifetime process. Amen. The word of God says, he that began a great work in you shall be faithful to complete it to the very day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So until I get home, the work is going to continue. Amen. Paul says, not that I've already attained or have already become perfected, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself having to lay hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which lie behind me and reaching forward to the things which lie ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. He says, look, there are still some miles to be covered. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, there are still some miles to be covered. And since there are still some miles to be covered, Paul says, I do not count myself to have arrived at my destination. Amen. I'm not there yet. Go ahead and free yourself. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Yes, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And look what Paul said. Paul said, I forget what lies behind me. Now, everybody always wants to say that Paul is saying that he is forgetting all of the bad stuff. And he is. But at the same time, Paul is also forgetting the good stuff. Amen. Some of y'all grew up in the era, and you remember Married with Children was a comedy show, amen, that was on TV, and Al Nielsen played Al Bundy on the show. You know what I'm talking about, right? And Al Bundy was this shoe salesman, and back in the day, he was a football star like Jesse Tan. And Al Bundy, Al Bundy could not get over the fact that one time he had a good game. One time, Jesse had more than one good game, amen? But Al Bundy could not get over the fact that he had one good game, and every time he got together with his homeboys, he would sit down and say, one time I scored four touchdowns in a high school football game. And they got sick of hearing Al Bundy's same story about the one game where he scored four touchdowns. So it's not only the bad stuff that Paul was leaving behind, but Paul was also saying, those good accomplishments. Y'all remember Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately? Amen. Some of us want to tell God, God, back in 1988, I served you on the usher board. God, back in 1992, I sang with the male chorus. And God says, that's well and that's good, but what have you done for me lately? Amen. He says, forget those things which lie behind you. The good and the bad. The things that you want to forget, and even those things that you hold on to. He says, forget those things and reach forward to what lies ahead.
Everybody in this room, God has something that he wants you to reach for. God has something that he wants you to reach for. He wants you to become more like Christ. It may be more patience in your life. It may be more kindness in your life. It may be more prayer. It may be more studying. But he's got something that he wants all of us to reach for. Now, I want you to understand this. Young people and all of us old folks as well, look at verse 15 and 16. Not only did Paul say, and a lot of preachers, we stop at 13 and 14 because that's a shouting text, and we tune that one out, amen, and we like that text. But you got to get to 15 and 16. This is what is holding some of us back from becoming like Christ. Verse 15 and 16 says, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained." What is he saying right here? He's saying that the company you keep has also got to be company that is pressing forward. Amen. You can't move forward with folks who want to stay back. You can't go reach what God has for you when you are hanging around folks who don't want you to reach forward but keep pulling you back. It's important for you to be able to establish relationships, people who have the same mindset as you, to be able to move forward. Amen. If you really want to go to college and graduate in 4 years and get your master's done in the fifth year, then don't hang around folks who want to miss class and go party. Amen. Yeah. And then you look up and say, "How did I not graduate?" Well, I'll tell you how you didn't graduate. Amen. You was partying. That's what they did back in RD's day. Amen. You was partying with RD. Amen. If you really want to press, you've got to be around people who want to press. Amen. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morality. Amen. If your buddy goes in and robs a 7-Eleven while you waiting in the car, and then he jumps back in the car and speeds off and the cops stop you, guess who the cops going to think robbed the 7-Eleven? Everybody in the car. Amen. So if you really want to move where God wants you to move, then you've got to be around people who want to move where God wants to move. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, I want to press. Are you going with me?" Lastly, Paul points us as he concludes this third chapter of Philippians. Paul points us home. Amen. He says in verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." He says, look, you can't be around folks who are not focused on home. Amen. And I want to stop by to tell you that this world is not our home. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, this world is not our home." And as Paul thinks about the destination, and he thinks about us becoming more like Christ, he reminds us today that this world is not our home. And he points you and I back to our home. Because says when you think about going home, it will transform how you lived. Some of y'all know that when you were growing up, you would learn a lesson at home. And when you would leave home, you would still act a certain way. Because you heard somebody say, when you go out, you remember that you are a Jones. And Joneses don't act like that. Or you remember that you are a Bennett. And when you get to that school, you remember what I told you to do. And so Paul closes out this third chapter reminding us that this world is not our home. Some of us are acting like the world. Some of us are talking like the world. Some of us are storing things up like the world. But he says to us, this world is not my home. Paul says in verse 20, "For our citizenship
is in heaven. I'm just an immigrant passing through. He says our citizenship is in heaven, and Jesus waits on us there, for he will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad today that as I press to be more like him, I've got a building not made by the hands of man that is eternal in the heavens. I don't know about you today, but I'm so glad that this world is not my home. I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about potholes in the street where I'm going, because the streets there are paved with gold. I don't have to worry about food running out where I'm going, because the Bible says that milk and honey is there. I don't have to worry about tornadoes and hurricanes where I'm going, because the Bible says every day shall be Sunday. The Sabbath shall have no end. I don't know about you today, but I'm so glad that this world is not my home. My house here might burn down, but I've got a home that's eternal in the heavens. Somebody said, Jones, how did you get that house? What was your down payment? How did you reserve that eternal place? And I said, I couldn't do it by myself. I reached in my pocket. Didn't have enough money. Looked at my credit score. It wasn't high enough. Looked at my job. Hadn't been on it long enough. So the Bible said that Jesus came down through 40 and two generations and made a down payment on my eternal home. The Bible says they walked him up Calvary's Hill. They beat on him. They spit on him. But he kept walking to pay my down payment. He got up to Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me, he died. Yeah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And because he did it, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Where the weary shall be at rest, the wicked shall cease from troubling. I'm on my way. Are you on your way? Are you on your way? Somebody ought to say, yeah, I'm on my way. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'm gonna fly away like a bird from prison bars that flow. I'm gonna fly away. I'm gonna fly away. Because I understand the destination. I understand that the aim is to be more like Christ. I focus myself on home. This world is not my home. World is not my home. This temporal that's all fading away is not what this life's about. But this life's about him. And wherever you are in life, he says to you today, make him your destination. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, make him your destination. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And today he speaks to your heart today. If you do not have a relationship with him, if you have been chasing the things of the world, if you have found yourself fooled by the enemy of what the destination really is, if you find your life absent joy, if you are weary from the climb up a ladder, he calls you today. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that second part of John 10:10 says, but I have come that they might have life and have life more abundantly. Today, he wants to answer the question, are you there yet?
No, none of us are. But if you've not started the journey, today you can. Today he calls to you. As we stand.